Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent.
David is co-hosting today with David Stearns, president of Dale Carnegie, Maine.
And you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. And today we're going to be speaking with best-selling author, world-class speaker, leadership expert, and entrepreneur, Adam White. Adam, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No, it's great to have you. So, you know, most of the audience, I'm going to be honest, probably doesn't necessarily know who you are. I know you certainly have a book. Give me the title of the book.
Sure. A Leader, Others Will Follow, The Power of Influence.
Perfect. So tell us a little bit about what got you into speaking, what got you into your life here. Why this journey?
Sure. Just in brief, went through a transition in life where I started off great, was attending school, and then I hit the hard rock place in my life where I kind of lost everything that I had. I was forced to move into my parents' basement. And it was in that basement that I had the aha experience where I began to take a look at my life and some of the decisions I had made, and I kind of began to wanted to understand why I had failed. And so over the course of 10 years and spent 2 years first before I got to the 10 years of research and study about leadership and why people fail or succeed, why organizations fail and succeed, and I spent time studying and understanding. But over that time, it gave me a moment to just kind of reflect and kind of begin to study about leadership. So I got involved with leadership because I first wanted to understand how to effectively lead myself. And if I could lead myself and get myself out of the situation that I was in, I know that I would have tapped into keys that would help me to be a more influential in leading others. So over 2 years, I began to study about leadership. I ended up turning my life around. I actually went on to buy a Subway franchise, bought more than 15 pieces of investment property here in Michigan, and then sold all of that for more than twice what I paid for it. And in that process, I learned a lot about leadership, hired and fired more than 40 different employees during the course of the Subway ownership and working with contract and people fixing up homes and rental properties and things, and just really began to be passionate about helping people and teaching some of the skill sets and things that I learned, of course, again, from failure. So my journey to leadership came from not where most people sometimes come from. They may get involved with leadership because they want a position or a title, maybe a little more money. I got involved with leadership because I wanted to know how to overcome failure. And I think the greatest leadership skills are developed not from just success, but actually from failure. Success is actually built from the ashes and dust of failure. So, again, made that journey. And then over the next 10 years, I began to study about leadership, everything I could get my hands on. I was reading a book a week, and I still try to maintain that quota. And then just learning about personal development, about human behavior. And that led me into beginning to speak and inspire others just to really to be a great leaders, influential leaders, and to be the best that they can be.
So, Adam, when you went down this journey, you were looking at leadership. What tuned you into the fact that that was the key? What was the defining moment? Because a lot of people might say, hey, it's the communication, it's whatever, other things that are factors. What is it that you said, hey, it's leadership that is the key?
You know, I just came across a discovery that just leadership, everything that happens in a person's life, if you think about a family, every successful family has at its core a great leader, a great father, a great mother. Every organization, any successful organization you can think of, whether it's Apple or Coca-Cola or Sony or whatever it is, there's always a leader that has drove the success of that company. And so I just began to look at leadership. Everything rises and falls upon leadership. And if you don't have effective leadership in a family, in an organization, in a church, it doesn't matter, then it's not going to reach the success level that it could because there has to be someone that is leading. Even every team has a coach or a leader that drives them to success to win championships. So I just looked at leadership to say, hey, wait a minute, leadership is the core foundation of what everything else is built upon to be successful in life. And without great leadership, starting with ourselves, being able to effectively lead ourselves, then everything else would fall apart. And that was what developed me and kind of helped me to hone in on leadership. And you mentioned communication. That actually falls in being a great influential leader. So that's a part of leadership. But it really, the base is understanding how to lead ourselves and then effectively lead others.
So as we're talking about leadership, and again, we're talking with Adam White. He's a national speaker as well as an author of the book, A Leader Others Will Follow, The Power of Influence. Tell me a little bit about why you decided to write the book. I mean, a lot of authors make decisions to write books because, hey, you know, I'm a consultant. I might go out there and write a book because I need one. What really was the underlying theme about why you decided to write the book?
Sure. That's a great question, David, because a lot of times we do write book. Maybe it's to get, you know, notoriety or just to establish, you know, intellectual property. And, of course, those things are important when you're building a brand or a business. But for me, again, from those 2 years that I sat in my parents' basement and I had that aha moment and experience, from then, the next 10 years of my study and research, I just discovered so many amazing things through reading, through talking with people, through speaking in conferences. And I wanted to capture all of that information and put it into a book that would actually inspire and encourage and help other leaders along the way. You know, and when you speak to an audience, you only can influence that one audience at that time, whether it's 5 people or 5,000. But once you leave that environment, if they don't have anything tangible, then that influence can sometimes begin to fade away. So the book helped me to continue to give my leadership influence out for people long after I'm done speaking. And then maybe some people who've never even heard me speak gives me an opportunity to put something in their hand and put something out that leaders can actually learn from and grow from. So really the base was just to take all of what I had studied and learned and understood and experienced over 10 years and put it into intellectual property that others can be inspired by.
You know, when you go out and you speak to audiences, because obviously you do a lot of motivational speaking, tell me a little bit about what you find are what employees are craving when they hear the word leadership. Leadership is really such a large topic. What is the subset of that leaders are saying, hey, this is the key of what people are missing today?
That's a great question. And I would simplify it by saying leadership in essence is influence. That's the title of my book, The Power of Influence. You know, we have to be able as a leader to influence people. If you think about what organizations are made up of, it's people. What is a family made up of? People. So if we can't effectively influence, and influence, by the way, it means to inspire, it means to encourage, it means to get people to cooperate and work together, influencing. So leadership, I think when I go around and I speak, what a lot of people are looking for is someone who has the ability to influence or inspire them to do something greater than they've done before. You know, John Quincy Adams, our 6th president, said this: if your actions inspire others to dream more, to learn more, or to do more, or to become more, then you are a leader. So a lot of times when I step into audience and I step into corporations, what I find is they're looking for inspiration. Even leaders themselves, we all get discouraged. We all get frustrated by job responsibilities and leading people. So they're looking for inspiration. They're looking to be inspired and looking for new and creative ways of doing things and how they can expand that influence. One of the biggest challenges is difficulty of leading people or dealing with different personalities. And so thus the study of human behavior to understand why humans do what they do, why they take the actions they take. So to answer your question, at the core, I think it's looking for inspiration. It's looking for to be motivated, inspired, to just be the best. I mean, you know, you hit a point, a roadblock or a stop, and saying, okay, it doesn't end here. You have to keep going. Leadership is a continuous process. Leadership is not actually a destination. It's a journey. It's a continuous process. So most companies are looking to how can we continue on this process without giving up. We've gotten to this point. How do we move forward?
You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we are speaking with Adam White, speaker, author, author of a book, A Leader Others Will Follow, The Power of Influence. I'm David Chulo, your host, and co-hosting today with David Stearns. David, you had a question for Adam, didn't you?
Well, I was curious, Adam. I saw there's been a lot of research done on employee engagement, and it's gaining quite a bit of interest out there. I see in your book you've got some tips, or you call it three things that improve employee engagement. I think people would like to hear how you feel about that. How do you get people, as a leader, get people engaged?
Sure, that's a great question, David. There's three things that I think that are critical. And again, this comes from a base of understanding the six human needs. There are six human needs in each one of us, in you, David, and in me, Adam. And so those needs are very important when we talk about employee engagement. Again, employees are people. We're not talking about animals or a system. We're talking about actual human people. And here's the three tips, in essence. Number one is employees want to feel a sense of ownership. Just think about how would you treat an organization if you own it. You care about the bottom line. You care about every aspect of that business because you own it. So when you give employees a sense of ownership, to own a task, to own a project, to own a responsibility, then that causes them to become engaged. If they just feel, hey, I work here, I'm just here to pick up a paycheck and I'm gone, then they're not going to be engaged. They're just there long enough to buy their time, get their check, and they're gone. But when they begin to take a sense, I am a part of this organization, I have ownership and investment of time and interest in this company, then they're going to become more engaged in their day, because ownership also says my name is on it. I care about the work I produce. My name, it represents me, so I want to give my very best to my work. Number one is a sense of ownership. Ownership equals empowerment, and empowerment equals commitment. So that's powerful for those who are listening. I'll say that once again. Ownership equals empowerment, and empowerment equals commitment. Here's number two, a sense of significance. This is one of the human needs. Every one of us has a sense and a need for significance. They're simply just to feel valuable, to feel important, to feel that your opinion matters, your contribution or your ideas make a difference in the organization. So employees become engaged when they feel that sense, and you're meeting that need for significance. Their contribution matters. Even if you can't use their ideas or they're not effective, the fact that you acknowledge them, you say, hey, that's important and I appreciate your contribution, it gives them a feeling of significance. And interestingly enough, sometimes employees, the only place they find significance is at work. They may not find significance at home or in other areas of life. So sometimes they come to work and they're looking for a sense of contribution and significance. And when you can give them that opportunity at work, you will be surprised how much they become engaged. The third one is, very simply, appreciation. We hear that word often, but sometimes we forget about it and we take it for granted. There were polls taken that asked employees, what is the number one thing do you value most? And they thought it would be money, but it's actually not. It's appreciation. Just saying the two most powerful words in the human language, thank you. David, thank you. Just saying simple thank you will go so far. And so to get them engaged is learning to appreciate them as a leader. When we just say thank you for your contribution, Jan, Tom, you did an outstanding job on that project, and I appreciate you. You will watch your employee engagement skyrocket.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour. We're talking to Adam White, national speaker and author of the book, A Leader Others Will Follow, The Power of Influence. This is the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Hi, this is Senator Amy Volk. As I walk through the neighborhoods of my district meeting my constituents this election season, one message is clear at every door. People are fed up with the political discourse in Maine and throughout the country. I couldn't agree more. I, too, am sick of the partisan rancor and name-calling. I spent 2 terms in the Maine House and 1 term in the Senate working with lawmakers from both parties to accomplish real change for the people of Gorham, Scarborough, and Buxton. In fact, the nonpartisan Sunlight Foundation found me to be one of the most bipartisan legislators in Maine. This year, I was awarded a Certificate of Achievement from the American Conservative Union, indicating that while working in a bipartisan fashion, I was able to remain true to my conservative principles. It has been a privilege serving the people of Gorham, Scarborough, and Buxton, and I ask for your vote so I can continue the great work we accomplished this last session. I will return to Augusta and provide the experienced, principled, bipartisan leadership you've come to expect. This is Amy Volk. I ask for your vote on November 8th.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Welcome back to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. I'm your host, David Stearns, with co-host David Chulo, and today we're talking with Adam White, a motivational speaker, a personal development trainer, and author of the book, A Leader Others Want to Follow, The Power of Influence. So, Adam, we're curious about the DNA that you talk about in your book.
Absolutely. The DNA of a leader. When I talk about the DNA, what I like to talk about is the characteristics. Let me just say this as a precursor. Leadership development and character development are the same. So it's a very powerful concept. Oftentimes, we look at leadership as just a set of the work that we do or people that we manage. Management is not leadership. So we have to start at the base to say leadership development. The more that we develop our character, the more our leadership skill will develop. So when I talk about the DNA of a leader, I'm really talking about the character and the characteristics of a leader. Just a couple of those to talk about. One is humility. It's a misconception that a leader shouldn't be humble. When we walk around with a sense of entitlement or a sense of that we have all the answers and we're doing all of the right things, that blocks us from being an effective and influential leader. It's actually quite the opposite. When we show that we're transparent, when we show that we are authentic and we have a humble attitude in nature, it actually invites people to become more engaged and those that we follow to become more engaged with us. So one of the characteristics or the DNAs of a leader is the ability to have humility, to be a humble leader, to say, hey, you know what, I'm not embarrassed about my scars, but I wear those scars like a badge of honor. Because those scars have developed me and brought me to the place where I am today. And that's the thing that I learned through failures, that at first it was a moment of embarrassment. It was a moment that I didn't want to talk about, or I can't show other people I've failed, or I lived in my parents' basement, or these things. But it was in those areas, that's what developed character within me and allowed me to become a great leader. And not only that, when you share your scars, when you show others that you're leading, that, hey, I made some mistakes, I made some wrong choices, I failed, they can connect with you, they can relate to you, and they say, hey, wait a minute, you know what, I didn't know he had that problem, I didn't know she had that problem, I have the same problem too. And so it empowers those that you lead to, that, hey, if he was able to overcome that and become successful, and she was able to get past that and still be a great leader, then so can I. So now you're empowering other leaders, and now you're actually leading leaders that lead instead of followers with a need. Let me say that again. You're actually leading leaders that want to lead instead of just followers with a need. So showing that you're transparent, showing that you have humility, you can connect with others. Again, it's back to those human needs. You meet the need for love and connection, and you also meet the need for significance in others. Those are just a few of the tips on the DNA of a leader.
You know, Adam, one of the things that I've seen as we certainly have worked with a lot of organizations is that they're looking at this and saying, hey, the next generation really needs a lot of leadership development. You know, there is this gap in development of millennials that is slowly working, but it's in reality there's still a lot of need there, especially on the experience side. Plenty of, you know, technical skills, raw talent. But there is a need for developing what you might say is perspective. Tell me about how a good leader develops a good perspective when they're talking about developing themselves and getting them ready to be motivational and delivering to their team.
Sure. I think for perspective, again, we have to start with mastering the leadership of me. We got to take a look inside at ourselves. And I think it deals a lot with being able to have self-discipline. A lot of times as a leader, what we do every day, you know, success and failure are not giant events in our life. They don't just, you don't wake up and you fail, or you don't wake up and you're successful. It's often hidden within our daily habits. So as leaders, what type of habits do we develop every single day that will lead us into an area to be successful as a leader? It's overcoming our own fears as leaders. We as leaders, like I said, we don't have to wear a facade as though we're perfect, or we don't have fears or anxieties. Because when we suppress and hide those things, we're not being authentic. So we have to be able to have a perspective from ourselves first to say, hey, wait a minute. I realize that I'm not perfect, but I am successful. I am a leader. I am leading others. So I have to be able to acknowledge where I am and yet still step above that and look at others. When you talk about millennial leading, it's still whether, and I hear a lot about the millennial where we say, well, we got a different generation. They're different, or they work different. And those are all true facts. But I always refer back to human behavior. We are all humans first, so it doesn't matter whether I'm 19 or 119. I still have human needs. So as a leader, when we keep the perspective, I'm dealing with this human, and this human has these basic needs, and if I'm working as a leader to work with these millennials or those who have been there for 40 years, and I'm still meeting that need for a 19-year-old, young man or young woman wants to feel significant and that their contributions to work matter as much as the 119-year-old that's been there for 40 years. So when we can learn to keep a perspective about, I'm dealing with a human. So here's the thing. We manage systems. We manage our checkbook. We manage our finance. We manage environments, but we lead people. People don't want to be managed, but they want to be led. So when we keep a perspective on leadership, that leadership is not management. Leadership is leading people. And that's how we can keep a perspective when we work with them, when we speak to them. It helps us to keep things in perfect alignment.
We're talking with Adam White, author of the book, A Leader Others Will Follow, The Power of Influence. I'm David Chulo, your host, with co-host David Stearns. And we're talking to Adam about developing leadership. Adam, one of the things you talk about, not only in the book but also on your website, is the development of your skill of influence, since, in fact, you talk about the power of influence being the most important. Talk about how somebody can actually personally develop their own skill of influence.
Sure. Great question, David. Here's three steps that I like to approach when we talk about developing the skill of influence. Again, we have to consider what influence is upon our life. And again, I talk about it from a personal perspective because, again, leadership development and character development are the same. The first thing is we must let go of the influence of our past. Oftentimes it could be something someone has said to us as a child. Maybe it's a previous employee or a coworker or a family member. And that influence that has affected us in the past, we hold on to that. And that holds us where we can't grow, we can't develop as a leader. So the first step was we must let go of the influence of the past. We must blaze a new trail. If you always do what you've always done, you will always be where you've already been. You'll never chart a new territory or go a new path if you keep doing the same thing. So we have to get rid of the negative, now I'm speaking of negative influences, that could still be holding on to us from the past that keep us going down the same path, doing the same things, and we never innovate and create. Number two is we must change the influence for the present, and I call that the circle of five, or your sphere of influence. And it's been stated that your life is, the trajectory of your life is a result of the five people that you hang out with the most. So if you're the smartest person in the room, if you're the smartest person in your circle of five, it might be time for some new friends. You have to always be around people who will drive you and push you to grow and to develop and to continue to learn, to not be complacent where you are and say, well, I've made it to this leadership position, so I'm happy. I don't need to do anything more or develop. But obviously what it calls for you to get where you are there, it may be a whole set of skills that are required tomorrow. So we have to look at nature as an example. Anything in nature that is not growing is dying. If you look at trees that are growing, if you look at birds that are flying, everything in nature is growing. These are the laws of our earth. So the same is true with human beings. If we're not on a path of continual growth as a leader, we're on a slow path towards decay and death. And it's often said that most people who have terminal conditions and diseases, what happens is it's not always the disease that causes them to die. It's that they stop growing. They stop having something to look forward to, and eventually they give up on life. So number two is we must change the influence of our present. Get around the right people that are, you know, passion is contagious. If you hang around people who are passionate, they have a drive for life, they have a zest, it's going to rub off on you. And so it'll pull you up to where they are. The third thing is to build your influence for the future. And I like to call each leader should have an accountability partner or a coach, someone they can bounce their leadership ideas off of. When you're facing a leadership challenge, who do you share with? Who do you talk to? Who do you counsel with? So building the influence for the future, those are three powerful keys that really can help a person to build their influence as a leader.
The other part that you talk about is maximizing your potential. You say average is over. What do you mean by that?
That's a great point. You know, again, it's back to when we settle for average. See, here's the thing. When we settle for average, we become a follower instead of a leader. Now, here's the thing. We don't even follow leaders anymore. We follow followers. When you follow a follower, you decide that I'm going to just be average. I just want to float through life. I don't really want to achieve anything more. I'm doing okay. What happens is you turn over your future and your destiny into the hands of someone else. And if you don't like the direction they're going, or if you arrive at a destination and it's not where you want to be, then you've lost out on the opportunity to be leading first in your own life and then having others to follow you on a path that you would like to go. So what happens is we have to be able to constantly continue to grow, constantly improve. And that is how, that is maximized. Here's the thing. We were all born with potential. There's nobody on this planet that doesn't have potential. The difference between success and failure is the person that has potential acts on it, maximizes it, and uses it. The person that sometimes fail, they don't maximize that potential. They have the potential, they have the opportunity, but they simply don't capitalize on it. And that's what I mean by maximizing your potential. You can't just settle for being average. You've got to give everything you have. Because here's the thing. You've only got one shot in life, and when life is over, it's done. You don't get a second shot. So we have to always be thinking, how can I live above average? How can I leave a dent on this universe? How can I make an impact as a leader in the lives of others?
And we're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB. We're talking with Adam White, a personal development trainer, an author of a best-selling book, A Leader Others Want to Follow, The Power of Influence. Shift gears a little, Adam, right now. I'm curious. I see you've got some audio tapes on public speaking, and from the website, I can see you are a living, breathing example of passion and fire while presenting. I'm curious, was it always this way, or what was your road to developing your public speaking skills?
That's a great question, David. You know, public speaking, to be very honest with you, even in conducting this interview, what's fascinating is that I'm really not a public person. And outside of speaking to people, I'm actually quite shy. I enjoy my quiet time. Again, I try to read a book a week. Love my time of just sitting in my favorite chair and reading and spend that time alone. What happens is if I have a fear, I used to be afraid to really speak in front of people, and this maybe will help leaders who have to present. When my passion to help others is stronger than my fear, and that's how I'm able to speak more effectively. When I step in the room, I might be nervous, or I see a room. You know, a couple weeks ago, I was in Mississippi. I spoke to 1,000 people. I was in a coliseum, and all these people here. And so, naturally, the human characteristic is to have fear, to be afraid, and say, "Wait a minute, what am I going to say in front of all these people. What am I going to say on this interview today? And so the way I overcome that fear is I think about how many people. I had an opportunity to help 1,000 people at one time. So when I think about the passion of helping others, and I think every leader, you have to develop this passion for really wanting to see people grow, really wanting to see people develop and improve. And people can feel that passion. And that's why there's so much energy in speaking. So I think an encouraging word for those who have to present or speak to others is be passionate about your topic. Be passionate about the people. Even if you're presenting a topic that may be about technology, maybe it's not considered to be passionate. But you know what? If you're passionate about helping the people you're speaking to with that technology, that still can be felt. So I think what helped me to really develop my skill for speaking and be able to make an impact on audiences that I begin to think about, before I speak, how many people am I going to be able to help? And when I think and I see those faces sitting in that audience, it drives me to a level that all fear is just pushed away. And now I'm passionate about helping the people that are sitting in that room.
Adam, you speak about the point in your life where you lost everything, that there was a transition. What was the first thing that you did that helped bring you out of that situation?
That's a fantastic question. The first thing, there were three things that really helped me to turn it around. But the first thing that really, really made a difference to me was this one statement that I held on to. And it's simply this: it's not how you start, but it's how you finish. It doesn't matter what you have at this moment in time. If you're a beginning leader or you've been leading for 40 years, it's what you do with the raw ingredients. It's what you do with the raw material. It's what you do when, if you do fail, with those ashes of failure. Are you able to restart the fire? Are you able to go and collect the wood again and build your own stage for success? Are you able to take the dirt that others have thrown on you and take that dirt and plant beautiful flowers where they blossom and you become a great leader? So I think the first thing that mattered to me is I knew I was in this situation, but I knew one thing. It doesn't matter where I start. It doesn't matter that I'm here. It matters how I finish. It's how I finish this life. How many people will I impact? How many people will be transformed by my transformation? How many people will be inspired? When I leave this earth, how will I be remembered? So at the end of the day, it's not how you start, but how you finish that counts. And that's what helped me to really get over the hump of failure.
Well, thank you, Adam. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, 1310 AM. And we'll be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
At 154 years old, Verrill Dana has an illustrious history and more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill Dana serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill Dana, one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact them today at verrilldana.com.
And we're back. You're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and I'm with co-host David Stearns, and we're talking to Adam White, author, speaker, and all-around nice guy, Adam. We really like you. You're doing a great job on the show today. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate that.
So in your book, you talk about the six human needs to be more influential and an effective leader. Talk about those, please.
Absolutely. There are six human needs, and again, this is psychology. We're working with human people, so it's very important as leaders to understand these needs. The six human needs are simply this. The first one is certainty, the need for certainty. Every human being has a need for certainty. These are the basic needs. My home, and do I have food? Is my family safe? Is everything comfortable in my life? And I have all of the basic needs met. So the need for certainty, people want to be sure and confident and look at certainty as security. They want to feel secure that everything is in place in their life. They have all of the basic needs met and they're happy. So we all have that need. There's no one that wants to get off of work and say, I don't know where I'm going to live. I don't have a car to get home. I don't have basic things. So the need for certainty is within all of us. Number two is the need for uncertainty, which is the very opposite. And you can look at that as the need for variety. So no one likes, look, for example, a person doesn't want to be in a passionless relationship, just doing the same old thing, come home. There's no spontaneity. There's no let's go for dinner. It's just the same routine over and over. So watch this. The person who values the need for certainty and security will live very radically different than the person that values more the need for variety. So a lot of times as a leader, when we give a person that has a need for uncertainty or variety a series of responsibilities, work responsibilities, you're meeting that need, and they'll be more effective than a person that values a need for security. Let me do things the same way every single day. The third need is very powerful. It's the need for love and connection. Often when I go and speak, I walk through the room and I'll ask a question. I'll say, raise your hand if you don't want to be loved. And I promise you, it doesn't matter how many audiences I speak to and how many people are in the room, no one in the room ever raises their hand. So it doesn't matter. Those of us on this call, those who are listening, we all have the need for love and connection. And so what drives human behavior, again, these needs drive human behavior. When that need for love or connection is not met at home, oftentimes a person at work, you may see different type of behavioral patterns take place because there is a missing need for love and for connection. Number four is the need for significance, and we kind of briefly talked about that. It's the need to feel valued, the need to feel important. There's no one on this planet that wants to feel insignificant or someone that does not want to be valued. So oftentimes what drives human behavior within employees and within us as leaders is trying to meet the need for significance. A leader will actually sometimes make wrong decisions because they're driving so hard to meet that need. I want to be significant in my role as a leader. I want to do something great. So that need for significance can be met in a healthy or an unhealthy way. The fifth need is the need for growth. All of us want to grow. You know, again, anything in nature that is not growing is dying. So we as human beings are no different than the trees we look out when we take a nature walk, or the waters, we watch the ripples. If we look up in the sky, we see the clouds are constantly moving. They never stop moving. So it is with human beings. We have this internal need to grow. And I like to say it this way, growth equals happiness, or progress equals happiness. When we're making progress in life, when we're making progress as leaders and as employees, we're happy. When we're not making progress, we're not happy. So the fifth need is the need for growth. And finally, the need for contribution. It means that we have an internal need. It's more as like a spiritual need to be able to give to something greater than ourselves. That's what drives the change in our world. It drives a change in the environment. We talk about millennials and these things. All of us at some level want to contribute to others and contribute to people. You know, as Albert Einstein studied physics, he also studied metaphysics. And here's one of the things he said. He said, man was placed on this planet for one reason, and that is to serve others. So it's a powerful statement. We all want to contribute and serve others. And it's an amazing feeling. And that's what we do as leaders. We actually contribute to the development and the lives of others, and that's one of the human needs that we meet. And while I'm on that, above that is two fears. It's fear that also drives human beings. So a meeting of these needs and then these two fears, all of the fears are buried or hidden within these two primary fears in every human, and here they are. The first is the fear that we're not good enough. Every single person, a lot of what drives us or stops us from producing results, both as a leader and as an employee, is that we fear. We are afraid that we won't be good enough. People won't accept our work, or they won't accept our talents or our abilities. So that fear of not being good enough, it holds us back. The second fear is the fear that we won't be loved. It's why a person would stay in a toxic relationship when they know they should get out. It is because they are, will I find love again? Will I be able to love? And again, you say, how does it ties back to employee, because we're dealing with people. We're leading people. So if someone comes to work and they're afraid that they won't be loved, they may respond. It may be reclusive. They may not work well in a team environment at work simply because this need that, or this fear that drives them, I won't be loved. I won't be good enough. I won't be accepted. So I'll stay to myself. I won't put forth effort. I won't go for the promotion. I'll just stay in my role because I'm afraid that my work won't be good enough and I won't be loved. Those are the fears that drive humans.
You know, it's interesting. One of the things when you think about those six and those two, there's a lot of overlap between those six and those two. How does somebody balance the need for all six while still knowing that they can control the two fears?
That's a powerful question, David. I think what happens is, what really happens is that generally humans value two of the six human needs more than the other six altogether. So, for example, a person may really value significance and growth more than they value, for example, love or uncertainty. So I think what we have to first do is take a look at those six human needs and then say, okay, which two do I really value the most? Is it more important for me to feel significant than it is for me to have uncertainty and variety? Is it more important for me to contribute? Am I really a giver? And I get a sense of fulfillment and happiness when I give more than I need to connect with people or whatever the case. But you're right, there is an overlap between them. But I think it's important to identify what two that we value the most. That's the first step. And number two, then, once we distinguish which two that we really value the most, now we ask ourselves, how are we meeting those needs? Are we meeting those needs in a healthy or an unhealthy way? So that's how we're able to define. And then sometimes we maybe need to shift. Maybe if we're valuing significance, but we're stepping on others to try to get it, that's not a healthy way to get significance. So maybe we need to say, that's not the area I should value. Maybe I should value contribution more. Maybe I should find more ways to give rather than try to be significant because I'm hurting others trying to meet this need for significance. But if I start giving, I not only cure this negative way of meeting significance, but now I'm helping others. So we can look at the other needs and shift our focus to the other needs, and that will help us also to manage the negative way we meet the other needs we're trying to meet.
Adam, this is Dave Stearns. Since we all are different, you said, and we all focus on a couple of these as our dominant needs, are there two that come up most of the time from your experience? That's the top two from a wide range of people, or are they really all over the place?
Again, great question. What I've seen both with speaking with audience, talking to people one-on-one, doing one-on-one coaching, whatever it is, I find that the two needs that come up the most are love and connection. Those two go together. That's one. And then the need for significance. Again, particularly among leaders, there is this need for, I want to be significant in my role as a leader. I want to make sure that I'm doing a great job. I want to make sure that I'm leading people the right way. So that gives a sense of significance. And then love is universal. So it's always that comes up. It's amazing that although that's one of the most universal languages is love, it is often the need that is most unmet. Mm-hmm. So within people, often it's that they don't receive love or they're not connecting with people in a way that they want and need to. And again, it could be at work. Sometimes just being on a team gives a person a sense of connection with others. We're on the same team. We're doing the same work, and that gives them good. That's why you see people go to lunch at the same time, or you'll see a group of people take off. It's because they want connection. They may not have any association with those people outside of work, but for that moment in time and space, they want to feel connected to those they work with. So to answer your question, the two that I have seen is the need for love connection and the need for significance.
So, Adam, if I was an HR professional and I was getting ready to hire some people, based on the body of work here in your book, what would I want to focus on in a first interview?
Sure. I think one of the key things that I've learned about hiring and those I've hired is simply this. You actually want to hire for character, but train for skill. Often what happens is in reverse. Because we need a certain skill set in an organization, we go right after that skill. And when that resume matches up to that skill set, we say, okay, here's a good match. But if we miss character, watch this, if we miss character and we hire for skill, you can very well get a person that is difficult to work with. They don't get along with anybody. They don't come to work on time. They have a bad attitude or they have an anger problem. So we miss character. We didn't pay attention to the character of the person. So down the line, watch this, when skill sets change, now the person not only not have the skills to continue in the work, but now it's a person you actually don't want to work with in your organization. So here's the tip. You want to hire for character first and then train for skill. You can always train people in skills. That's what school is for. That's what technical certifications, whatever it is. There's always training we can achieve and get when people want to learn. Learning never stops. Learning is ongoing. But character is something that has to be developed. And when we look at character and we develop people of character, that is what in turn affects the culture of an organization and it affects the direction of an organization. Again, the organization is made up of people. If we hire people of character, we'll have a culture of character and an organization that has character.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
At 154 years old, Verrill Dana has an illustrious history and more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill Dana serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill Dana, one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact them today at verrilldana.com.
And we're back. You're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. and main.dalecarnegie.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and co-hosting with me today, David Stearns. And we are talking with Adam White, author of a book, The Leader Others Will Follow, The Power of Influence. And Adam, we've had a great time today. Really great information, great stuff that you're teaching about leadership. If somebody listened to this show today, what are the three key takeaways that you would want them to really make sure that they take away from today's conversation?
Sure. Thank you, David. I'll just quickly say the three things I really want to get across to leaders and HR professionals is this. Number one is always continue to work on the skill of influence. When we lose our influence with people, we no longer can influence others to go in a direction, then we are not leading effectively. So always work on the skill of influence. It means to inspire people to greatness, inspire them to want to dream and do great things, and that's how we lead people, always influencing ourselves and influencing others. Number two is understanding the six human needs. If always understand we're dealing with humans, we're leading people. Again, people don't want to be managed, they want to be led. So leadership requires being that person that others want to follow, and that's just the title of the book, but understanding the human need. The third one is I call the reflection of leadership. Each day, whether you start your day or end your day this way, and it's something that I do, is I ask myself three questions. Have I lived? Have I loved? And have I made an impact? So as a leader, we are responsible for the lives and the futures and the careers for others. We're placed. Leadership is a privilege, but it's also responsibility. So I would always end my day by saying, have I lived? Have I really lived? Have I really loved? Have I really been that leader that others can look up to? And finally, have I made an impact in the lives of others?
Adam, as we're kicking off the month of October, you know, I think you're a great inspiration having someone, as you said, that has gone to great, deep inner self, you know, soul searching to make this happen, to go from nothing to owning a number of Subway franchises, to really making something out of yourself that is an amazing thing for someone who's written a book and making this happen. Tell us a little bit about you, just personally. What is something that somebody would like to know about you personally?
Sure. I think just knowing that I'm actually a sponge for learning. Outside of speaking, I've always got a book in the hand. I love the library and the stores. I love to read because I just feel like we've been all blessed with a great mind and great intellect, and it's up to us how we develop that mind. So I'm always reading. Love to play golf. Golf, I feel, is the game of life. So for leaders, you know, when you're out there, you got a stressful day and you're dealing with people, that's the one time you can get away. And the only thing you want to focus on is that golf ball. I mean, you don't want to paint someone's face on there, but you just want to focus on that golf ball and get it in the hole. So I love to play golf. I'm actually a jazz-trained pianist, so I love to play music. I play piano in my free time, and that's actually very therapeutic and relaxing. And often in my speaking, I use music and take audiences through this mental focus where we play music that helps them really focus and reflect. So I love to play music. I love to play golf. Love to take long walks in nature. Again, I talked a lot about nature. Anything that's not growing is dying. So I love to take walk and just look at the trees and the water and the ripples that it makes and the energy that is created out in nature and use that as inspiration for life.
Well, there's no question that you're inspirational, and people can go to AdamWhiteSpeaks.com. Correct? That's your website?
That is correct.
AdamWhiteSpeaks.com. AdamWhiteSpeaks.com. They can also go to HRPowerHour.com right after this audio broadcast, and we can make sure that they can connect directly with you. We'll have the book on there as well, so they can click directly there to get the link. Where else can they get the book, Adam?
Sure, they can go again out to the website and order it directly, or they can send me an email at adam@adamwhitespeaks.com and just let me know their interest in the book. I'd be glad to ship it out to them directly, as well as I'm available for speaking, for keynotes, for training, HR training. I'm actually, a lot of my programs are certified by SHRM. I've been to NC SHRM and Louisiana SHRM, spoke for those conferences. So by all means, feel free to reach out to me. I would love to come and make an impact in your organization.
Well, thank you so much, Adam, for being on the show today. Dave and I have truly enjoyed it.
Thank you, Adam.
My pleasure.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. And now your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by VerylDana.com.
This is Elizabeth Connellan-Smith with VerylDana. Workplace safety is a top priority for all employers. News of recent egregious safety violations across the country reminds us of the need to monitor safety policies to avoid an OSHA General Duty Clause violation. Don't become the test case in your area for the biggest General Duty Clause violation. Instead, repeat safety training on a regular basis and hold your employees accountable for failures to report unsafe conditions or acts. Keep in mind, in order to prove a General Duty Clause violation, OSHA must show that the employer failed to render its workplace free of a hazard, the hazard was recognized, the hazard was caused or likely to cause death or serious physical harm, and the hazard was preventable. A reward system for identifying safety concerns and proposing solutions is a great way to invest your employees with a sense of responsibility while making the workplace as a whole a safer environment. For more information, contact Veryl Dana's Labor and Employment Practice Group.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by VerylDana.com. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBRadio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.